yesterday what we discussed is typically condensed matter systems will involve many particles, let's say n particles, and to describe their behavior, we need to extend what we know from single particle quantum mechanics to n particle systems. Now, these n particles in condensed matter systems, they will interact with each other, and the wave function that represents these many quantum particles can be quite complicated. So one way to express this wave function is to find a complete basis set for the n particle Hilbert space, and then we can write any state in the n particle Hilbert space as a sum over all the basis elements. And then our goal will be to figure out the coefficients for each of these basis elements. So yesterday we discussed one way of writing down a complete basis and how we do that. We'll solve single particle Schrodinger equation. And we'll calculate all of the eigenstates. Let's label them with I. So this is a complete basis. So we calculate all of the eigenstates. We can write it like this. And we can form a complete basis for the n particle Hilbert space by choosing, first we choose n single particle states, and then we can apply, so let's write down a product of n single particle states. Let's label them with the, let's use J, K, J. So this KJ refers to this quantum number. So I choose n quantum numbers. So the quantum numbers, so I choose n single particle states. And these states are labeled by quantum numbers K1, K2, till Kn. So I consider their product, and to this product, I will apply the symmetrization and anti-symmetrization or anti-symmetrization operator. What that will do is it will encode the exchange symmetry of bosons or fermions in the basis elements. Now, this will represent one basis, one element in the basis set. The complete basis set is obtained by allowing these K1 to Kn quantum numbers to be anything that is possible, any quantum number that is possible. So I can, using this, I can write down a many particle wave function. Now we have n particles, so the wave function will have n coordinates. So this can be written as, now I sum over all quantum numbers, let's say k1, k2, till kn, I will have some coefficient. And then I will have plus or minus, depending on whether I have bosons or fermions. Right. Any questions so far? So there is another way. So we can use this. This is called first quantized way of writing down the wave function. There is another way of doing the same thing, that is writing down a basis for n particle Hilbert space, which is called second quantization, which is typically more useful to do calculations. So let's try to do the same thing. So our goal is to write down a complete basis for n particle Hilbert space, but now we don't want to deal with the wave functions, but we want to deal with occupation numbers. So we want to specify a many particle state by specifying how many particles are there in a given single particle state. Specifying how many particles are there in a given single particle state will form one element of the basis set in second quantized notation. So what we want to do is to use occupation numbers as the basis set. So again, step one for second quantization. Is to choose a complete single particle basis set. So again, we solve the Schrödinger equation, single particle Schrödinger equation, and we choose a complete basis set. Let's label this. So step one, choose a complete single particle basis set. So now we can, let's write it like this, nu one, nu two. Till the, it depends on the size of the Hilbert space, how many states you have in this complete basis set. Now, these are all single particle states. We can calculate them. Now, step two is to write down a state that specifies number of particles in each of these single particle states. So I can write down a state which will be, say, n1, n2, now this represents a state that is specified, that specifies that there are n1 particles in single particle state nu1, n2 particles in single particle state nu2, and so on. If you have a total of capital N particles, then sum over occupation numbers in all of the states must be equal to capital N. So the sum is over all the states in this basis. Now also, we can, an important property of these, of the elements of the basis set would be that they are orthonormal. To get a feeling of what one of this looks like, think about, so take examples. Now, one of these basis states is 0, 0, all zeros, right? This forms one n particle state. You can also have a state 1, 0, so on. You can have a state, say, 10, 0, so on. This is only possible, by the way, if you have bosons. If you have fermions, then we know there is a Pauli exclusion principle. The occupation number can at most be 1. So this is possible for bosons only. But you can also have states like 0, 0, somewhere you have 1, and then so on. So you can see there are many states like this. And all of these states are going to form the basis set for the second quantized formalism. Now, different elements in this basis set will be orthonormal. What that means is if you have a state, basically you have M1, M2, and if you take, so this is n particle Hilbert space, it comes with the property of inner product also, and this inner product is again, you can define it in the position representation like you do for the single particle Hilbert space. So using the Brian-Kett notation, I can write that these different basis elements, this should be orthonormal. So I will have M1, N1, M2, N2, and so on. Now, the space, the Hilbert space spanned by all of these elements in the basis set is also called Fock space. So our goal is to write down the state of a general state in the n particle Hilbert space in terms of these states. Now, to do this, we have to define some operators. And the operators we define come naturally if we start with vacuum. So let's start with vacuum. For sure, if we have nothing, all of these occupation numbers are zero. This for sure is an element of this basis set. And starting from vacuum, we can define creation operators that will create one particle at a given location. For example, you can create a particle for the first element in this basis set. So all of this goes back to choosing this first. Once you have this, you can define creation operators, creating a particle in this state, this state, this state, and so on. Once you can create particles, you can also destroy them. So we will define annihilation operators. And after that, we will be able to define number operators. So you can see that, so our goal now is to define these creation and annihilation operators, but you can see that what these creation and annihilation operators do is they basically connect these various elements in the basis set. If I create one particle here, I will get this state. If I destroy this particle, I get back to this state. If I create 10 particles in the first state, I get this state. So the goal of creation and annihilation operators is to connect various elements in this basis set. Now, these operators that we want to define, it becomes important now to specify whether the object or the particle that we are creating is a boson or a fermion. It's easier for bosons, so let's do bosons first. But keep in mind, when you see a creation operator, you must also ask whether it's a boson or a fermion. So let's assume, so let's do for bosons. So we can just start by defining it. Let me define an operator B, J, dagger. And I'm defining this operator by writing down what it does on a general basis state. So this acting on a state that has NJ, the occupation number is NJ for the jth single particle state. This will give me a factor of nj plus 1. So this is just, I'm defining this operator. The important thing is to keep in mind this subscript J. What this subscript tells us is that this operator is only going to act on the single particle state at the jth location here, right? Now, likewise, I can define annihilation operator, and I'll define the annihilation operator Bj acting on a general state with Nj occupation number. This will decrease, it will annihilate one particle in this state. So it will decrease the occupation number by one. I will again get a factor here, which I choose to be square root Nj. So these are just definitions. Why did we define it with these square root nj plus 1 and square root nj? This makes it easier to understand the action of these operators. How? Let's act with this operator bj on if the occupation number of the jth single particle state was 0, then what you have is this operator is acting on this state. Now, if I have chosen this square root of n, this just gives me 0. So this choice of square root factors ensures that if you try to annihilate 0 occupation number, you'll get nothing. Any questions so far? So I've defined two operators, creation and annihilation operators, and I've defined their action. So now I can also compute the commutation of these two, commutation relation between these two. So now my goal is to find out what is Bj commutator with Bj dagger. So I can calculate this quantity by, again, let's say it acts on a state with occupation number nj. So this is simply bj dagger minus So we can do it a bit faster. So Bj dagger acting on this will give you a square root factor, and that square root factor will be square root of nj plus 1, and it will decrease the occupation number by 1. Bj dagger will increase the occupation number by 1, and the square root factor that you will get will be square root of nj plus 1. Then there is annihilation operator, which will then decrease the occupation number by 1. So you get back nj, and the square root factor is also going to be nj plus 1. So I will get nj plus 1, and I get back the same state. Similarly, this annihilation operator will decrease the occupation number by 1, nj minus 1. You'll get a square root factor of square root of nj. And then you create one, the square root factor will again be square root of nj, and you'll get back the same state. So in this way, we can compute the commutator of this Bj, the operators that we just defined, the annihilation and creation operators. This comes out to be 1. So in the same way, you can calculate any commutator or anti-commutator that you want to calculate. Later on, we will define. So right now, we're only doing for bosons, for fermions also. And for fermions, we'll find that fermions have anti-commutation relations. But again, you can use this way of calculating what this anti-commutator should be. Any questions? So now that we have creation and annihilation operators, let us define another operator, which we call the number operator. So we define the operator nj. Now I put a hat on it. So if you have any question, what is an operator, what's not, just ask. So I'm not consistent. These are also operators. Now I define a special operator, the number operator. This is going to be bj dagger bj. So let's check if this does the job. Straightforward. Let's apply this operator on the state. It's simply bj dagger bj. We can find, okay, we first have to annihilate a particle. Occupation number should go to nj minus 1. Then create, we get back to nj. And the square root factor is same for both of them. So this is simply nj times so I would not write hats for operators just for convenience. But because here we have to deal with these numbers, I want to separate nj as a number from the operator. That's why I put a hat there. So this operator, nj hat, the eigenvalues of these operators are these numbers, are the occupation numbers. Right? So the number operator acts on the single particle state, and j acts on the jth single particle state, and it gives you as eigenvalue the occupation number of that state. And these occupation numbers, they all must be non-negative integers. Now, we can ask ourselves, okay, we wrote down a state like this. How can we create a state starting from vacuum, which has this? So our goal is to create a state that has nj occupation number starting from vacuum. How can we do that? Well, let's just act, let's just create nj particles. So we have to act on vacuum with this operator bj dagger nj times. Let's write this as zero, as this general state. So I start with a state which has no particles in the jth single particle state, and these numbers can be the numbers that you want. And if I act on this state with this creation operator nj times, I'll get this state, but I'll get something else also because of these square root factors. So I have to divide, I must divide this by square root of nj factorial. So I can create states like this from vacuum and just using the these factors you probably also saw in tutorial yesterday. So if you, when you have bosons, you have some additional factors. Also, now we are, so far we are talking about creation and annihilation operator in this jth state, depending on how many elements you have in this basis set, for each element, you will have a creation operator and you will have an annihilation operator for each of the single particle state. In general, these operators for different single particle states, they must commute. What that means is we can write down commutation relations. Let's say bj, bk, this is 0. Bj dagger, bk dagger, this will be 0. And bj, bk dagger, this is going to be delta jk. So again, if we want to now create a general state like this one, where we have n1 particles in the first single particle state, n2 in second, and so on, we can simply write down this expression, n1, n2, n3, and so on. This is simply going to be b1 dagger acting n1 times divided by square root n1 factorial, b2 dagger acting n2 times n2 factorial, b3 dagger acting n3 times, and so on. And all of these are now acting on true vacuum, which is all of them 0. So these factors you saw yesterday in the tutorial also. When you wrote down the permanent, you saw that for normalization, you need something extra for bosons. So now we are comfortable in writing down these basis elements in second quantized notation. Right? We know what they are, we've defined some operators, we define commutation relations between them. So we can create, we know how to think about these various elements in the basis set. And yesterday we saw another way of writing down the basis set, which also included writing down single particle eigenstates, basically non-interacting eigenstates, right? So it's natural to ask the question, is there a way to relate the two? So indeed, there is a way to relate these basis elements in second quantized notation with the basis elements that we wrote down over there, so each element in this basis is this. And this relation is basically, so let's try to, so one thing we can, what we want to do is relate this notation with this notation, right? Now in this notation, we assumed that we have n single particle states, right? So to have n single particle states in this notation, this corresponds to creating n particles in n of these states. So create one particle, choose one state, create one particle in that, choose another state, create one particle in that. And if you have n particles in n different states, that will correspond to choosing n states here. So we can do this by creating exactly one particle in a state with quantum number k1. One particle in a state with quantum number k2. And go on till kn, create one particle in this state, So I'm writing, instead of writing all of these zeros, I'm just writing one zero. But this is a vacuum. All of the single particle states are unoccupied. Now, this state creates one particle in all of them. This state is going to be same as the symmetrized, as the symmetrization operator acting on like K1, like K2. Now, why did we need the symmetrization operator or anti-symmetrization operator? We needed it to ensure the exchange symmetry for bosons and fermions. Now, on the left-hand side, we don't have the symmetrization operator. The advantage is that this symmetrization operator is now built in these commutation relations. So these commutation relations means BJ, BK, or let's look at this one, BJ dagger, BK dagger is same as BK dagger, BJ dagger. So if you create a particle in jth state first, and then you create a particle in kth state, this is same as creating a particle in kth state first, and then in the jth state. And these two are same as exchanging the jth particle with the kth particle. So we no longer need this symmetrization operator. For fermions, we needed a determinant anti-symmetrization operator, which is much harder because you have to keep track of the negative signs. And here, we will not need that operation again once we do it for fermions. The anti-commutation relation for fermions will have this built-in symmetry. So this suggests that we are probably going in the right direction. It's something helpful, the second quantized notation, and we can drop this symmetrization and anti-symmetrization operators. Any questions so far?
Why don't the minus signs make it harder to compute determinants?
If you have many particles, 10 to the power 23, then you have to keep track. Every time you exchange something, you have to keep track of which particle you exchange with which one, and the minus sign. So,
like permanence equally hard to compute? Like,
I would not say equally hard. They are hard.
They have like an exponential
number, n factorial. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are also harder, but fermions are really almost impossible. Yes.
Understand why it is that acting with BJ and then BK, or acting with BK and then BJ, is the same as like swapping the two.
So in our notation, we can do this. So I mean, there is some assumption built in also here. So what I'm doing is BJ dagger, BK dagger, acting on 0J, 0K, and then comparing this with BK dagger, BJ dagger. Now in this state, you create a particle, a boson in kth first, this first, and BJ here. So you take the first, let's only talk about bosons now. So there are two bosons. You take the first boson, first means at coordinate R1, and you put it in state K. You take the second boson, which in first quantized notation is at R2, and you put that one here.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. That's the point that I'm confused about. So how do you know that putting BK first and then BJ corresponds to putting BK with label R1 and putting BJ with...
So this label R1 and R2, they can be anything, but you have two particles. One comes first, so you have to be just consistent. That's a good point. So this one could have been R2 also.
Yeah.
So you choose one boson, but you know that one of them is at R1 and the other one is at R2 in the first quantized notation, where I get this symmetrization, right? So you can choose any one you want, but be consistent in this one. And then you'll see if you created here with R2, here with R1, here you're just doing the other way around.
I mean, like, there's no, like...
But should T be the same?
So for, if they are bosons, if you...
If they are bosons, it's the same state, right?
Yeah. Because there is no sign change also. But this would be trickier for fermions because you need a minus sign, but it's the same logic. So you create, you have two, so you want to realize, you want to compare this notation with the notation that we had n particles at n coordinates and we are moving particles around, right? So to create two particles at two coordinates, we can use these operators and just, like, let's not worry about all of the other ones. And this will give us the right... So because they commute, it will give us the right symmetry. So it will tell us that the wave function is the same for bosons. And because we know that the bosonic wave function must be symmetric under exchange. Right? So we'll do it again for fermions. And I think it will become... more clear.
It's just not clear to me why the position of the creation operator, like, is the same as saying this is particle number one and this is particle number two.
This is arbitrary. It's not. So you can choose whatever particle you want to be first, but we are just saying we are consistent in it.
The key point is that these are the same state,
and so
they must correspond to the symmetric states. Right, in the position representation.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me for bosons because it's the same state, so there's only one, like, symmetric state that you can write for the in the first quantized notation. But for fermions, where you actually pick up a minus sign, somehow that actually means that the order in which you place the creation or annihilation operator.
So ordering does matter for fermions, for bosons not, and that's why we need this. So imagine these are fermionic operators. Now ask yourself a question, so what we are doing is relating these two states, right? Creating one particle, so here we are creating n particles. This will correspond to creating this symmetrized product, which corresponds to this state, where we have n particles at, so we have a sum over one basis element. So we have specified some coordinates. So this is basically for bosons are permanent, right? So you have specified some coordinates for each of the particles. So when you're creating a particle in second quantized notation, you don't have this, you don't have position in there. So you can choose one and just be consistent to see whether that both will have the same position representation or not. So there is one more step. We can go to the position representation. Maybe we can talk after the class, and we can do it in a bit more detail.
Like maybe you could just, since it's just an overall phase, pick one order to start with.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
I think that would be consistent. Be consistent.
Everything's defined from the commutation relations from there.
So now let's do the same thing for fermions. So now what I want to do is second quantization. For fermions. Now again, just like we did for bosons, now we can go a bit faster. We can have creation operators for fermions, CJ dagger. We can have annihilation operators for fermions, which we'll call CJ. Now, instead of commutation relations, the fermionic operators have anti-commutation relations. What we can do is we can write them down right away. So you have CJ, CK dagger. So I will use these brackets for anti-commutators. What this means is simply CJ, CK dagger. And then you have a plus sign, CK dagger, CJ. This is going to be equal to delta JK. An anti-commutator of CJ of two annihilation operators is going to be zero. Anti-commutator of two creation operators is going to be zero. Now, this subscript J and K, this would again mean that these are operators for the jth or kth single particle state. Now, let's look at this one. What this one really means is CJ CK plus CK CJ is zero. What if K is equal to J? Then you get CJ square is equal to minus CJ square. That means they must be zero. Similarly, you can do for the daggers. You will find that CJ dagger square must be zero. So in any, if you take creation operator, fermionic creation operator in any single particle state, and you square it, you will get zero. This is built in from this anti-commutator. And what this means is nothing but the Pauli exclusion principle, that in a single particle state, you can at most have one fermion. So we can try to see what these operators do, again by acting them on vacuum. So if we have this CJ operator acting on this, if you start in vacuum in zero particle, this should give you zero. Now we want to figure out what the creation operator would do. So you remember we chose those square root factors there, these square root factors. So we are trying to figure out what square root factors we should choose here. Now, this annihilation operator acting on zero should be zero. This operator, let's define it to be one. Without any prefactor, or with just one here. Now, this definition, we can figure out whether this gives us the, this is consistent with the other properties of these operators. So one way to do this is, let's try to calculate what would be CJ dagger acting on this state. This is going to be CJ dagger square acting on vacuum. And we know this will be zero from Pauli's exclusion principle. So we're trying to figure out the action of these operators, CJ and CJ dagger, because we know that the creation and annihilation operators are going to help us in moving between the various basis elements in the second quantized notation. Now you can also check, okay, so the last thing that we have to calculate is CJ acting on 1. Now, this 1, I can write it as CJ dagger. So this is actually CJ, CJ dagger acting on 0. This, I can use this anti-commutator to write this as 1 minus CJ dagger CJ. So this is simply going, this will cancel. This is just going to give you 0. Right? So now we have exhausted actually all of the possibilities. So if we start in this state, 0, we can, for fermions, it turns out that the only relevant states are occupation number 0 and occupation number 1. So you can think of this as following. So you can go from this basis state to this basis state. So the reason we are talking about these operators is because we want to figure out how different basis states are connected. So there are many basis states. Let's act on this state with CJ dagger. So you can create this state by CJ dagger acting on this. If you act with annihilation operator CJ, you get on this state, you get this state. If you act with creation operator on this, you will get nothing. If you act with annihilation operator on this, you will get nothing. So the only two relevant basis states for fermions are the occupation number 0 and occupation number 1. And these two basis states would form a two-dimensional Hilbert space for the jth single particle state. For bosons, it's not a two-dimensional Fock space for each j because you can have many particles. So now we can extend the same logic, and let's define the number operator nj as cj dagger cj, and we can act on a fermionic state, and we'll see that. So now we know that these are the only two relevant states. So let's, if we calculate nj, the number operator acting on this state with occupation number 0, we'll find that this is 0. We can write the 0 as 0 times when this nj, it acts on the state 1j, this is going to give us 1. So again, the number operator, it has eigenvalues 0 and 1. It basically gives us the occupation number of the state. And now, the last thing which we did for bosons, we'll do for fermions, which is we'll try to relate these two basis elements. So next, we want to relate for fermions the basis elements in second quantization with the ones in first quantization. And this can be done in a way similar to what we did for bosons. So we create, again, we need n single particle state. So we have to create one particle in each single particle state, which is labeled by K1, K2, till Kn. So we create a particle in K1, we create a particle in K2, and we go on doing this and create a particle in Kn, starting from vacuum. This is going to be a now anti-symmetrized operator acting on state K1, K2. Again, because these operators anti-commit, so fundamental symmetry of exchange for fermions is now encoded in the anti-commutation relations for these fermionic operators. So we have so far only related these basis sets, right? The basis sets in first quantization to basis sets in second quantization. Now we have the formalism to write down the many-body Hamiltonian in second quantized notation. So we will use the relations between the basis elements in second quantization and first quantization for fermions and bosons to write down the Hamiltonian operator in second quantized notation. So now our goal is to write down the Hamiltonian in second quantization. Now, in general, a Hamiltonian is going to have many terms, and we can group these terms as terms that involve single particles. So let me write this as single particle terms. Plus, I can have terms that involve two particles. And so on. What I mean by single particle term is a term in the Hamiltonian can be seen. So a Hamiltonian can be seen as a sum of many terms. The single particle terms are going to act on single particles. So let's look at these terms in detail. One such term is kinetic energy operator. So we know kinetic energy in the first quantized notation. We can write this as minus h bar square over 2m, the gradient square. Right? Now, depending on, so it's a single particle term. What that means is, depending on this term, will act on the ith particle, and it will give you the kinetic energy of the ith particle. So this term, this gradient, is going to act on the ith particle, which had coordinate ri there. So in general, for n particles, I will have a sum over kinetic energy of these n particles. There is another single particle term that we already know, we have dealt with in single particle quantum mechanics, is the potential term. So a single particle, so this is not interaction potential, this is the potential Vri, which is the potential felt by the particle, ith particle, because, so which is a function of the location of the ith particle. So this operator is again going to act on the single particle. So let's assume T is an operator, and this T is represents a general single particle operator. And our goal is to write this, something like this, in second quantized notation. So what we can do is, again, step one is to choose a complete basis set. So T is a general single particle operator, and let's choose psi j. This is a complete basis for, this is a complete single particle basis. So you can solve the single particle Schrodinger equation, calculate all of the eigenstates, and that will form the complete basis. Now, if the basis is complete, we can resolve the identity operator using these states, right? So because the basis is complete, the identity operator in the single particle Hilbert space can be written as sum over all of these states, psi j, right? Now, T is a general single particle operator. That means T acts on single particle states in first quantization. So T acts on these states. Let's call them K. So T will act on a general single particle state, which is labeled by K here. So T acting on this psi k. Now what I'm going to do is insert this identity operator, this here. So this is same as sum over j psi j psi j t psi k. So this is basically, can this can be written as sum over j t j k psi j, where these matrix elements, these are matrix elements of this general single particle operator in terms of single particle states, in the single particle states j and k. So this is t, j, k. In general, this would be a complex number, right? Now, the total kinetic energy is going to be a sum of kinetic energy for all of the particles. So now I have to define. So this was a general single particle operator that was acting on single particle Hilbert space. The total kinetic energy operator, this is now going to act on n particle Hilbert space. So this total kinetic energy, this you can write as sum over n, Tn, where Tn, so now I'm summing over 1 to n. So I take each particle and I add the single particle. So Tn hat, this is a single particle operator. Now there is a tricky point here, which is that I have a single particle operator on one side, right-hand side, n particle operator. This should be n particle Hilbert space. So the way around is you define these Tn operators as operators that act non-trivially only on the nth particle. So you can think of, for example, this T1. So we are extending these to act on n particle Hilbert space. So T1 is going to be this operator acting on the first particle, and then it's going to act trivially on all of the others. in general, this Tn is basically going to be identities all the way, but on nth position, you will have T. So this n here denotes the which position you have this non-trivial, this acts non-trivially. Any questions so far? So now we can everybody see this? If I write here? No. So now we would like to write down the total kinetic energy. And in terms of the matrix elements that we have just calculated, so we can write down the action of the total kinetic energy. Now, this is going to act on psi k1, psi k2, psi kn. So this is total kinetic energy acting on the product state. Now you can say, why are we considering this? This is not a basis set for the first quantized notation. The basis set is really symmetrized or anti-symmetrized version of this. So we are going to act with symmetrization or anti-symmetrization operator later on. So for the moment, we just consider the total kinetic energy acting on this product state. What this is simply sum over n from 1 to n, and then we have this Tn operator acting on this product state. Now this can be rewritten because we know that these operators can be written in terms of their matrix elements. So I can write this as sum over n, sum over j, tj, kn, psi k1, psi k2, psi j, Now, this J, this position is important. So this is at position N. Right? So this position is going to be important for us. So what I did is total operator acting on the product state. This total operator can be broken down into operators that act non-trivially only on the nth particle and trivially on all the rest. This can be expanded in terms of basis, in terms of matrix elements, which involve J, which means replacing the knth one by J. So whatever was at position N gets replaced by psi J. Right? Now, this total operator, kinetic energy operator, is a sum of n of this. Now imagine that you exchange two particles. If you exchange two particles, so this total operator is a sum of many terms, it has n terms. On each of these terms, there is a non-trivial action only on one particle. If you exchange the two particles, it is still going to be the same sum. So this operator is invariant under exchange. That means that this operator commutes with the symmetrization or anti-symmetrization operator. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to apply the symmetrization or anti-symmetrization operator on this. So I'm applying this symmetrization or anti-symmetrization operator on this total, psi k1, psi k2. Psi kn, because they commute, I can do this is same as this acting so now we are there. Now we can use the relation between the basis elements in the first and second quantized notation. This we know how to write in second quantization, right? So this part is simply bk1 dagger, bk2 dagger, bkn dagger acting on vacuum, right? Now, what I can also do is look at this T total acting on this. This can also be written like this, right? So I can also act with symmetrization or anti-symmetrization operator. So I acted with that operator here, and now I had two operators. I can, because they commute, I get this identity. But acting here is same as acting by symmetrization or anti-symmetrization operator here. Now here, there is no other operator. So what I can say is that this is same as sum over n varies from 1 to n, sum over j, t, jkn. And now I have this symmetrization, anti-symmetrization operator on these states. But now it's slightly tricky, because now one of the states here is replaced by psi j. It's no longer the product. So in the first quantized notation, we labeled all states by k1, k2 till kn. Now in here, we have one state that has been replaced by psi j, and we actually sum over all possible values of j. So we have this, psi j, now where is this? The location is at the position n. So again, this we can write down in terms of creation operators. And how will this look like? This state is more going to look like bk1 dagger, bk2 dagger, dot, dot, dot. And now we are going to have an operator bj dagger, and then bkn dagger acting on vacuum. So basically, we have replaced the BKN dagger. So keep in mind there's a little n and capital N. Capital N is the last one. This is the nth location. So BK small n, that operator, this one has been replaced by J. So next, our goal now is to write this, the operators here, in a way that it's identical to the order of operators here. So in other words, we have this equal to this. We'd like to make sure that the ket on both sides is the same. Now here comes a tricky point. So we are assuming these are bosons. For bosons, you can have more than one particle with same quantum number. So the only difference between these two is at the location BKN. At the location, at the nth location, here you will have BKN dagger, and here you have BJ dagger. But it's possible to create more particles with the same quantum number KN. So in this product by itself, it is possible that small KN appears many times. This would not be possible for fermions. But in this order, it is possible to have BKN, small n dagger, appear many times. Is that clear? Any questions? So let's assume BKN dagger appears p times. So what that means is we can write this quantity. So let me write down the equation. What we want to look at is T total acting on BK1 dagger, BK2 dagger, BKN dagger acting on zero. This is equal to sum over N varies from 1 to N, sum over J, T, J, K, N, BK1 dagger, BK2 dagger, BJ dagger, BKN dagger on vacuum. So on the left-hand side, in this order, we have BKN dagger appear p times. So you have a term on left-hand side that has BKN, this is small n, dagger to the power p. On right-hand side, you don't have this term, but instead you have a term BJ dagger and BKN dagger to the power p minus 1. Right? Now we'll use an identity which you are going to prove in the tutorial today, which is B dagger KN acting to the power P minus 1 acting on vacuum is same as 1 over P BKN, BKN dagger to the power P acting on vacuum. So this is an identity that you're going to prove in the tutorial. So if we use that identity, we can write down the right-hand side of that equation as sum over n varies from 1 to n, sum over j, t, j, k, n, 1 over p, b, j, dagger, b, k, n, and then I have b, k, 1 dagger, b, k, 2 dagger, dot, 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 b, k, n, dagger, 0. So So all of these terms now are same as the one that appear on the left-hand side. These are the additional terms. This thing can again be written as 1 to n sum over j, and I also introduce another variable k, and I will have t sum j. Now I put k, I put the delta function k, kn. This is Kronecker delta, and I have bj dagger bk, and then I have 1 over p, and the rest is the same. So I have bk1 dagger, bk2 dagger, and right? So I've just inserted a delta function and an index. So now we are almost there. Now the trick here, so any questions so far? Now the trick here is to look at this first sum, n, first sum over n. Now the first sum over n is the sum over each particle. It's a single particle operator, and n, we started with tn, and this n was referring to the particle index. But because of this, the only place where n appears is, n also appears, n appears is with this delta function, right? So that means the only place where this sum over n can contribute is if k is equal to kn, which means you create a particle with quantum number kn. Now, how many times will this delta function contribute? We know that there are p of these particles. P particles have the quantum number kn. So this sum over n can be performed. This delta function ensures that you get p contributions. All of those contributions are going to be same, and that will cancel this p. So this is going to be sum over j, k, t, j, k, bj dagger, bk. And then you just have the bk1 dagger, bk2 dagger, bkn dagger, acting on zero. So now we have derived what we wanted. So the total kinetic energy operator is sum over j and k, t, j, k, b, j, dagger, b, k. So this is how we can derive the single particle operator in second quantized notation. Now this is the second quantized notation that we will later use throughout this course. Now we can do the same thing. Any questions so far? So we can do now the same thing for two particle operators. So far we were dealing with single particle operators. Now the two particle operators are basically, you can think of Coulomb interaction. Now Coulomb interaction, the potential V, let's write it, it's the potential term is going to be a function of R1, R2. And this is, for example, E squared for two electrons. So you'll get plus or minus if they are repelling, or so we are ignoring the sign at the moment. The idea is that we have, if we have such a term in the Hamiltonian in the first quantized form, this term must act on two particles because it needs to know the coordinates of the first one and the coordinate of the second one. So this is a two-particle operator. Now, so we need a complete basis. So starting, if we go back to for what we did for the single particle operator, we started here. So we said we need a general single particle operator. So let's assume this V is a general two-particle operator. We needed a complete basis set for one particle Hilbert space. Now, to write two-particle operator, we need a complete basis set for two-particle Hilbert space. We can construct the complete basis for two-particle Hilbert space by, let's say, we choose them to be psi m, psi n. So this is one element in this basis set. And if you allow all possible quantum numbers for m and n, you will get a complete basis set for two-particle Hilbert space. We can also write this basis set as, in terms of this notation, psi m psi n. Now again, since the basis set is complete, sum over j k psi j psi k psi j psi k is going to be identity. So this general two-particle operator V acting, so this is resolution of identity in two-particle Hilbert space. Now again, this operator, it's a two-particle, general two-particle operator, so it must act on two-particle state. So this will act on, let's say, psi m, psi n. This is what we want to figure out. Let's insert this resolution of identity here. So this is going to be same as sum over j k psi j psi k. And now the matrix element psi j psi k v psi m psi n. So this is simply going to be sum over jk. We use the notation where we write the matrix element as jk mn. Any questions so far? So this is a notation for this quantity here. So this quantity here, you see it's in bracket notation. This you can write in position representation. So in position representation, this is so what you do to write it in position representation, you will insert position cats here and here, and then you integrate over all the coordinates. So what you will get is you'll have an integral d cube r1, d cube r2, psi j, psi k, r1, r2. And in position representation, we know this potential as a function of R1, R2. If this is Coulomb interaction, for example, it is going to be this function times R1, R2, psi m, psi n. And now I'm just going to write down the last line here. This integral, this can be rewritten in position representation, these gets are just going to be their wave functions. So we have psi j star r1, psi k star r2, psi m r1, psi n r2. Now you can go through, so now we know these matrix elements. We can go through the entire process. By that I mean now this is a general two-particle term. You write down the total potential energy, which is involves many terms. You choose a pair of particles from these n particles, and each pair will have a term like this. Same as what we did for the kinetic energy. There. So we can write down the total potential energy, and then we can write it down in terms of matrix elements. Then we can apply the symmetrization and anti-symmetrization operator, and then go through this entire algebra. And what we will find is, let me write down the last thing here. What you will find, the result of this entire calculation would be that you can write the total, which is the two particle term in the Hamiltonian. This can be written as sum over m n j k v j k m n v j dagger BK dagger, BM, BN. So far, we have considered only bosonic operators in doing this. You can do the entire calculation again, assuming fermionic operators. And you would find, so for fermionic operators, this P can at most be one. P is only going, so you don't have to worry about what we had to do here. So you can go through the entire logic and you'd find exactly the same result. The only difference will be that these are now going to be fermionic operators, and here also you will have fermionic operators. So next, what we want to do is to take an example and write down these operators in a basis we know, which is the momentum eigenstates. And using this, we can write down. So far, this is quite general. We can choose any complete single particle basis set, and this is how we can do it. It turns out that in condensed matter systems, it's a useful basis, actually in most of the systems, a useful basis is to use momentum eigenstates, which are basically plane wave with a volume factor. And using that complete basis of momentum eigenkets, we will write down the kinetic energy and the potential energy operator in second quantized notation. Now, should we continue for 10, 15 minutes or?
Yeah, a few more minutes.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we can do this tomorrow. So in another problem that you would do in the tutorial today would involve writing this two particle operator in momentum eigenstates. So we have, next is to write these operators in the special basis for this single particle. By choosing a special basis, you will do a problem today in the tutorial that will involve something that is substituting. So you see these wave functions here? These wave functions, you can substitute the momentum eigenstates here. And you can derive this operator, and then you will prove an identity for this operator, which we will use tomorrow to write down a general expression for the two-particle interaction operator. Okay. Thanks.